I'm an addict. My name is Elaine. It's a tradition meeting, 8 and 9. And normally, I would too bypass this meeting because I really don't like tradition meetings, but they are the foundation of which this program is founded on, and it keeps us in order. It keeps us in line as to what we really should be about. So I'm going to, the best of my ability, try to talk about the eighth and ninth tradition. And I thank my friends for showing up, because without you all, I would be out the door right now. And this is not a blank tape, but it's a blank room. So, and with Father God in my life, that's another reason, because sometimes, like, you feel like you're abandoned. And it's not just people, it's God. And when you feel like he's abandoned you, then you really are in trouble. So I'm feeling a little empty right now, and I'm thinking, well, are you at the ocean, or where are you? Because I really need to be in touch. So, you know, with that kind of like emptiness feeling, I'm thinking about all the things that keep me in touch with a God when there isn't really one, you know, present, because I need evidence that he's with me and he's here. And when we were reading the traditions earlier today, because, you know, I couldn't have done this last week and tried to remember exactly, you know, how these traditions relate, you know. So I had to do them today. And we were reading them and going over them. And, you know, they're a part of evidence that's needed for groups and NA meetings. You know, it's evident that when you walk through the door, that tradition 8, you know, states, and it reads like this: Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. And so when you walk in the door, you really don't have a clue as to who's up here, or the secretary, or just how the structure is. And if you're new, like me, when I came in, I thought these people were being paid. And I thought, well, you know, there's something to pass in that basket, because when you did it in church, that meant somebody was going to use the money for something within that facility, you know. And so I had been in other organizations and in other groups, so I understood that. So when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I assumed that this group worked like all the other groups. And it wasn't until I talked to my sponsor and I got involved with my home group that I truly understood, you know, this eighth tradition, you know, this non-professionalism. We do not care what you do in your private life. We do not care what degrees you have. And it's not important that the person behind this chair has a degree or a high school diploma or equivalent of such. That's not important here in Narcotics Anonymous. What is important is that we're here, and we got here by using drugs, and we have come to a point where we have experienced some things in our lives that we worked through, and we stayed here, and we're willing to sit on this side of the table and share it with you and give it to you freely so that it might be able to help somebody else. So when we talk about the non-professionalists of the people who are here in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, it's not like we went out and hired people to come in from, you know, wherever to be able to clinically give you, you know, background on your disease and how it all starts and you know, the other areas like treatment centers that you might have gone to where they explained to you the disease of addiction and how it worked and you got insight into it. And then you come into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and you sit down at your first meeting and you heard somebody babble on about, you know, what they did in their addiction. And you say, well, what does that have to do with me? Well, these non-professional people who are addicts just like you are just sharing their experiences, strengths, and hope that what happened in their life, like I said, will keep you here one day at a time. In the structure of the home group, from where people volunteer, get together, and make up that home group, and when they pass that basket and the money they collected, donations to the area and from the area to the district, that on those levels, when it comes to a service center, because we don't have the newcomers piping out the T-shirts and stamping, you know, making, creating NA books, you know, and making book covers, we don't have any factory anywhere where all this is produced by newcomers or whoever in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. We have to go to professional people who are T-shirt makers, like the ones I'm wearing and everybody else here at the convention, and ask them, will they make us up some T-shirts? Well, we can hire these professional people to help us, you know, put on some of the conventions and the other things, but as far as our Narcotics Anonymous meeting, you know, we can't do that. We can't take the home group money and go out, you know, and say, okay, now, everybody here in the group's got to buy a T-shirt to belong to the group. No. You know, this isn't a fraternity or a treatment facility. This is totally, totally non-professional. And we really don't care from where you came. All we want to know is what's your problem and how we can help with it. It says our members are not paid a salary for their 12-step work. When you go out to pick up somebody, you use your gas. You know, you don't take it out of the group's money because you want to pick up somebody to take them to a meeting. No dues or fees are charged for the services that one addict gives for spending time with you on a phone. You know, when it comes to the service work, the H&I, the hotline, you know, those areas where people just dedicate their time, you know, the amount of time that you spend on the line with one addict, you know, on a hotline call, you know, that's service work that's, you can't pay for, you know, but it means so much to someone out there who needs to talk to somebody at 3 o'clock in the morning. Or, you know, right on the edge of just going back out. Maybe an old time, but who knows? But the phone line is open and someone is there to volunteer their services to be there so that somebody can talk, you know. And then go into hospitals and institutions and carry the message, you know, behind the prison wall. We don't go out and hire people to do that. That's done by people who come here. And this service work, you know, it means something. It's a fulfilling, it's just very fulfilling and rewarding to do that. You know, a lot of times you might be suggested by your sponsor or whoever, you know, that if you want to be connected and you really want to feel a part, that you join, you know, some sort of service group to do that work. The ninth tradition states, NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committee directly responsible to those they serve. And here, this, you know, when we talk about these groups, you know, they have no specific rules or fees, but they get together and they organize, you know, and they have a way of doing it that's on a consistent basis. Now, if you join the H&I or if you join a hotline, they have rules. And the accountability comes in if you're going to be on a shift at 9 o'clock at night. that's where you're going to be, because you know people are relying on you being there. And I say that because I did. I worked a hotline for about 2 years, and I know a lot of times I wanted to throw it off on somebody else or say, you know, well, I just don't feel like doing it. But I had to do it. I had to be responsible. It's part of what helped me get responsible in other areas of my life. And I did enjoy it. And I went to the meetings and I talked to other addicts, and they told me about the traditions and what we should be doing and what we shouldn't do. And I couldn't get on the hotline and tell the addict, you know, which treatment center to go to. You know, I think you ought to go across town. You know, I couldn't promote treatment centers, and I couldn't even promote my home group. Well, I think you should come down to my home group at 12 o'clock. You know, all I could do was direct them to whatever meeting was on the schedule at that certain time. You know, so my ego and my how I felt had to be put aside for what was good for NA, rather than what was good for me and my home group and how I felt. What treatment center was better than another treatment center? I had to be open and honest with the addict who was calling and just tell them, you know, how I felt, where they could go to a meeting that day in their area, and just kind of like talk to them and hold on for whatever length of time that they needed me. It says here that the groups can combine their guardians and resources so that each of them can function more effectively and all together can carry the message further. The group may ask their committees to buy bulk supplies or literature, making it easier for the group to purchase NA books and pamphlets. And we just recently did this in my home group because we found out that some of the home groups were struggling. And if, you know, one group is struggling and another one has pamphlets and monies and everything, and people are going there and they don't have coffee and they don't have tea and they don't have this, we used to be able to announce, you know, this home group is struggling, so why don't you just go and support them? Because it doesn't do us any good to have all the coffee, the tea, and this, and going on when the meeting down the street doesn't have any of that. When we come together as a unit, you know, we should be able to help the group that's struggling. And we should notice that that group is struggling. Not go home and say, you know, well, I went down there and then, you know, I don't know what's going on down there. You need to go to the group, maybe join the group and see what you can do to help. And it's about being a WE program. It's about getting together and making this work, you know, because if the doors weren't open, or if they had not been open for me, I don't know where I would have been. And I'm grateful to that. I'm grateful that people told me to join committees and to go and be a GSR for the home group and find out how I could be of service, you know, to my group. I don't know, I'm real... Feel filled up. Today's my birthday, and I'm celebrating 6 years clean days, one at a time. Another birthday in this program, and I don't think I could have done this without, you know, these traditions for people, you know, just holding to what is right and leading us in a direction, you know, instead of their egos and I just don't think that I would be here, because it is about this tradition. No matter what goes on, the bottom line is we have a solid foundation. Everything else that's built on narcotics, no matter what changes in the area, no matter what changes in the group, no matter what changes in the conventions, it's built on a solid foundation due to the traditions. And they're put there as guidelines for us to follow. And I'm grateful to that. And I remember we used to have group concerts where people used to actually almost get down to fighting, you know, fussing over what tradition meant what. And that's how you learn, because you can talk about it, you know, and find out, you know, from experienced members, you know, just what these traditions mean and how they apply not only in your group, but outside of the group, you know, when you're dealing with other people. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm trying to stand on traditions, and I'm trying to stand on principle. And I'm trying to get in contact with the simplicity of doing whatever you do. Because no matter what happens, if you can look at the simplicity of what's going on at the moment and be humble about what's really important, what's really important, it comes down to carrying a message for the newcomer, being here one day at a time, staying clean and not using, because anything else will just destroy my life. You know, if I let all the other stuff just come into play, you know, I'll play myself right on out of position. I don't have a lot to say on this tradition. Both of these are, I mean, it's self-explanatory, you know. You just do it. You just do it. And I'm an addict and I'm in there.
Amen.
Thank you, Lane. For the next speaker, please.
Don't y'all go away yet. I worried about this a long time now. I need somebody here. I'm just kidding. I'm Louie. I'm an addict. I'm not really kidding. You know, ask me to talk about the steps. I can do that because I've pretty much worked the steps and try to live the steps. But traditions, you know, I hear them all the time. We read them all the time. I've done tons of service work. But, you know, I got down, I read this tradition in both those books. It works how and why in the basic text. And I read it again, and I'm blank, and I'm reading them again. The day I went up in the meditation room, and I'm meditating, and I'm praying, you know. And the whole deal was turn it over, you know, it ain't a big deal. But, you know, the traditions are very important for us. It's like it says, they're what provide the unity throughout the fellowship, which keeps us alive and free. And like Elaine just said, I think a lot of them are pretty self-explanatory. You know, they're pretty simple. One of these, I think, had a half a page in the basic text. I think Tradition 9 is like a half a page because it's so straightforward, you know. But anyway, I'm going to share a little bit here. It says we should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. You know, this whole program, and I'll try and share from my experience, is about one addict helping another addict. And what that says to me is that, you know, we're all equal in here. We're all equal. You know, it's just non-professional. I have my story. You have your story. You know, I might have been a stove-cold junkie, which I happen to have been. You might have smoked pot. And they're all relevant, and they're all crucial for all of us. And so, you know, personally, I try not to block out anything because I'll miss the blessing. But it's real important for me to know that we're all equal. When a newcomer walks through that door, we're equal. We're even. I'm not better than him. You see, he gives me hope because I have to remember where I came from, and he shows me. And I need to see that almost daily. I need to see that a lot. Because the longer I'm clean, if I don't go into jails or do H&I or whatever, or I'm around an addict in some way, shape, or form, I have that selective memory. I'll start remembering the good times or whatever. And so the newcomer is really the lifeblood for all of us in here. And I remember when I went to some of my first meetings and I was sitting there and I looked down.
Man, that guy got 3 years clean. Him? I knew him out there on the street. You know, and he gave me hope. He gave me hope. See, you know, the people who have been here a little while, you know, we give them hope. And that's how this thing works. You know, I might have gone through something that you're going through now, and you might have gone through something that I'm going through now, and we help each other along the road. And it's all non-professional. You know, we're not paid counselors, we're not lawyers, we're not psychiatrists, we're not a treatment center. You know, I don't write diagnose you, I don't chart on you, I don't do any of the stuff they do in treatment that's professional. You know, it's just all a non-professional thing. And, you know, some of the distinctions that I just happened to write a couple notes down is that the professionals do not follow traditions. They work for personal gain, basically. And, you know, special workers that we may hire, and this tradition says we may hire special workers, but they are accountable to the fellowship. They are supposed to follow traditions, and they're, you know, like they're accountable to the fellowship. There's a difference there, you know. You know, I was telling someone yesterday, I mentioned special workers, and she said, "Have you ever seen a special worker?" I said, "Not a whole lot. I mean, my experience has been that we all do a lot of service work and stuff, although I'm sure, you know, we have them. I mean, we have people that are hired to print these books, and I'm sure we probably have people hired, professionals hired to print all our literature, our IPs, our literature, all that kind of stuff. You know, but I've never done service at that level. We did at one time have a service office in our area, which basically served to provide literature, chips, and all that kind of stuff, strictly Narcotics Anonymous. It was a Narcotics Anonymous service office. It provided Narcotics Anonymous, I say stuff, but you know what I'm talking about. Our literature, our books, our chips. It wasn't mixed. It was a Narcotics Anonymous service office. And they were responsible to area service. They were held accountable by area service. Now, I guess that would... Nobody was paid. It was all done voluntarily, to the best of my knowledge. You know, my experience in service is I've done a lot of service through the years, and, you know, it's all been voluntarily. You know, I've never kept track of my mileage and put in a mileage chip like that, you know. I just do it, and I do it for two reasons. One, it saves my ass. It's really that simple. I mean, there's a principle around here. You got to give it away to keep it. It's that simple. If I sit on my duff and don't do anything, then I'm going to lose what I have. So, you know, I'm trying to be about carrying a message in some way, shape, or form. And that has varied through the years. The things I have done have varied through the years. Right now I'm a part of our phone line in our area. And 1 week a month I have the responsibility of calling into our phone line and returning any calls that people might have left. Our phone line is probably set up a lot different than what Elaine was talking about. But that's my little bit of service work. You know, in addition to, you know, taking people to meetings. And, you know, they told me there's recovery under every ashtray and under every chair. You know, picking up, my mama don't work here. I needed to hear that because my mama was everywhere. I'm a mama's boy, you know. I needed to hear that stuff. And service, it's taught me... how to be responsible. It's helped me to learn to deal with emotions. You know, I hear it around here a lot, and I've really never said it. People say, "Hi, family." And we are family. Because you get involved in service, and then emotions are going to start popping up. We're a bunch of controlling people. We're going to have some emotions. And I've learned... And, you know, I'm not saying I don't get emotional. Of course I do. but I try not to. It's fun now. It's fun to go to area service and watch. It's better than the soaps. But anyway, it's great. It's great to watch. Sit there and watch. And be part of it, too. I haven't been in a while, but when I was gone. You know, the spiritual principle, I think it works how I talked about behind tradition 8. It talked about several. But one was humility. And that is that we recognize what we are. We're no more and no less than what we are. We're addicts helping one another. If we need outside help, we can hire outside help. If we have a legal matter we need help with, we can hire outside help. You know, or whatever it may be. And we need to know what we are and who we are. We're not doctors. We're not psychiatrists. If someone's got mental health issues, let them go to the doctor. I'm not a doctor. You know? Let the doctor be the doctor. And I'll share my experience, strength, and hope, which is, as long as I didn't pick up, no matter what I was going through, things got a little bit better and a little better. And sometimes they got a little worse. And then they got better, and then they got worse, and then they got better, and then they got worse. I mean, that's life. But I was getting better because I was learning to not be so emotional, not be on the roller coaster all the time, not be angry all the time, learn who I am, what I am, what I want to do, stuff like that. You know, and no more, no less. One guy I sponsor does happen to have mental health issues, and he's telling me, oh, my schizophrenia is acting up. I said, well, you need to check in with your doctor. Maybe they need to do something different. I don't know. I'm not a doctor and shouldn't claim to be a doctor. I have my experience, strength, and hope. You know, some people get it the way I got it. Some people don't. Some people need the soft touch. Some people need the hard touch. I guess. I mean, you know. And that's why we're so neat. We're so diversified. We got it all. We got it all around here. You know, and that's what we are. Nothing more, nothing less. You know? And if we can just see ourselves in that light, you know, we don't have to pretend to be something we're not. You know? And then the other thing, one of the other principles of mission was anonymity. And I guess I've kind of touched on that already. It says, there's no experts. We are all qualified to share our recovery. There's no experts around here. I might make somebody an expert. I mean, I have people that I just love to hear share and that have fed my heart and soul and still do. They're special to me. But they're no more an expert than anybody sitting here. Nobody's an expert, you know. So, we have no professionals. We're basically one addict helping another. And that protects us, you know. I don't go to my home group and say, hey, let's hire a psychiatrist to come in here and help us all out. I guess we could do that if we wanted. Says we can hire them if we want, but that's not NA. That wouldn't be NA necessarily. I don't know. I'm kind of rambling on that, so I'll be quiet. The next one, Tradition 9, talks about NA is said should never be organized. And it defines organized as having management and control. You know, like most jobs, like most county governments, like most organizations, from the top down kind of thing. They have management, they have control. And we're not supposed to have that. The way we work is from the individual member. And this is real important, folks. And a lot of people don't know. I've been slack in this area myself. I always try to go to my home group and vote. Because that vote is very important. We are run by a loving God, as He may express, you know, his desires through our group conscience. That's how Narcotics Anonymous functions, through the individual member. Now see, if you're an H&I chair, who are you responsible to? You're responsible to area service, as is the PI chair, as is the phone line chair, and all those subcommittees that we create to carry the message to the newcomer or to whoever needs it. And ultimately it goes back to the individual group member, because the groups make the motions. They give them to the GSRs. It goes to area service. If you don't like something H&I is doing, where do you go? You go to your home group. You make a motion. You don't dope in it. You let the group conscience rule. If you can't, if they don't pass it or give you a group conscience, drop it. Let it go. If it gets a group conscience, it goes to the area. But you, the chair people are servants. And this is a real big principle here, is service. Servants, you know. Chair people are to follow the directions given them, because we created them to serve us. Right? And that's who they're accountable to. See? So, you know, if I want to say, I don't know, you know, I can't think of any specifics right now, but I have a lot of responsibility, and I don't want to say power, because it's a group conscience thing. And if I can bring it to my group, bring it up, make a motion, and allow the group conscience to rule. And the beauty is if you learn, as I've tried to do, is to move within a group conscience. Like when I was H&I chair, there was one thing that happened that I was not comfortable with. But because it was a group conscience, I had to let it go. Someone had relapsed and they'd been carrying a jail meeting. And we had guidelines. You gotta have so much time, da da da. And this person had come back and had a couple months or something. And they said, you know, let her do it. And we voted on it. And she did it. And I wasn't real comfortable with it, but because it was a group conscience thing, and these were other responsible members of NA with time that had been on the committee a while, whatever, I had to go with it. And that was a lesson to step back, let it go. You know, today that story has a sad ending. That person's back out again. She's still alive, I believe, thank God. And who's to say it would have been any different any other way? Not me. And I'm not even insinuating that. What I'm insinuating is that as a chair, as chairs, or as whatever, we are servants. A GSR is a servant of his group, to bring the group conscience to area service. Not to manipulate it, not to dope fiend it, not to try and change it. It's to simply bring it to area service, to get it and bring it. That's hard for us, folks. It's hard for me. I want to control. I want to run. I want to be in charge. So, but doing through these things, you know, we grow. I grow. You know, the things I've learned by doing the service stuff I have done, you know, it's get out of the way. Get out of the way. You know, let God. Let go, let God. And, you know, I'm a better off person, I think. I don't think. I know. I mean, I should have been dead a long time ago. And today I have a pretty good life. But we do, we can organize separate boards and separate committees. We do that. We set up ad hoc committees to investigate something, to do something. And they're responsible back. Area service does that a lot of times, at least in my area. You know, they'll set up a group of people to. Right now they're have an ad hoc committee to investigate putting our meeting list on the internet. Or there's a group doing that. you know, whatever. There's all different things you can set up ad hoc committees for. But we can do that. We are within the tradition to do that, but that group is responsible back to area service. So you know, we struggle and we do whatever and we go through to get where we're getting where. You know, typical addict always in a hurry to go nowhere fast. That's me. And you know, we make big deals out of stuff, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, we all grow through and we all hug and we all love each other. And we stay clean. Bottom line, we stay clean another day. And hopefully we help someone along the way. The traditions are very important, you know. They're like the steps, you know. The steps are what make my individual recovery and help me grow. And the traditions are what help Narcotics Anonymous recover and grow. Very important. They provide our unity and they're what keep us alive and free. So, you know, just lighten up, try to flow within them, and all will be well. So as long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that will tear us apart, all will be well. And, yeah, it's like this convention. Our area is putting this convention on. Oh, man. I mean, I haven't really sat in the meetings. I do not have the patience to sit in the meetings. I'll be quite honest. Because to me, it's all going to pan out. Let's just get it done and do it. You know? It's just like, it's not as complex as people. You know, we're very we're complex people. But you know, things can be very simple. You don't have to be so complex. I make them complex. You know, I make little. Yeah, I'm the kind of guy I can vacuum the carpet, and instead of seeing the 99% that's clean, I focus on that one little piece of paper that's still down there. Or if I clean my car and wash my car and get in my car and there's a fingerprint on the window, what do I see? A damn fingerprint. You know. See, I can laugh at myself today. I have a thing on my mirror to the mirror that says, don't take yourself too seriously. And because I can make such major things out of such little things. And it's just not that neat. It's not that neat. You know, I was talking to a guy earlier, he tried to run me over out there. Not really, all in jest. You know, I started to go in, there's this car. Finally, I look over there and he says, come on, walk out there, I'll get you. And it was a buddy of mine I hadn't seen in a long time. I walked over and hugged him. And I saw him later and I said, you know, when I was drinking, I was that kind of powerful person. I could go across the street, you know, stop all the cars. Everybody was going to stop and just keep on trucking. But, you know, they say that the center of this disease is our ego, self-centeredness, and surrender, allowing other things to happen, accepting the diversity, and staying unified throughout and with it all. That's a real struggle. That's why we have these things. So, God bless you. Thank you. All that nervousness was for nothing as usual. And I love you and thanks for sticking around a little bit. And I haven't even looked at my watch. Not bad. All right.
I'm Jimmy and I'm an addict. You know, we still have a few minutes. We can open the meeting up if somebody wants to come and share.
I'm an addict called Tim. I walked through that back door. I said, geez, maybe I'll find a meeting where there's more people where I can hide. I can't hide in here. As you can see, I have my plug on for the phone line. I'm the Chesapeake and Potomac chair of the health line. Service boards or committees. And that's where I am, and this was the right meeting for me to walk into. I am responsible to you. That's what they told me. I said, I'm ultimately responsible to the addicts in this area. The groups donate money to their areas, which goes to the region, which pays the bills. And they want me to be the chair of the helpline and to do the best job that I possibly can for the next, well, now it's the next year and 4 months is what's left on my commitment, to help suffering addicts to find meanings. I started this out when I had 6 months. To back it way back up, before I got clean, I called the helpline. 2 days later, someone called me. When I got clean, I heard someone sharing a helpline needed help, and I understood what they meant. So I took a shift, and I found out that it helped me more than I thought I was helping. I got more help talking to people. Because I remember when I talked to somebody who's in their second day of withdrawal, I remember what my last day was like immediately. I've gotten the best thing out of that. We don't employ any special workers, but you know, we're all volunteer. I do know at the world level they employ secretaries, though. I've spoken with some people at the world when I was having a little bit of difficulty with this, with my acceptance of the fact that shifts were, I couldn't fill them. I was doing the best that I could. I couldn't get my area liaisons to show up at the subcommittee meetings. And I'm like, I was getting real frustrated with it. My sponsor said, Tim, shut up, pray. And when I prayed, I said, okay, let me call the world office up and ask them what help they can give me to try to attract people to this. I can't begin to say how much it's helped me being involved in the helpline. Yeah, I make long distance calls today, and it's okay. I enjoy the fact that I was able to. You know, if I counted up the money that I spent on a daily basis, I'll never ever spend that much money in long distance calls to suffering addicts. And so it's not a problem. No one's going to pay me back for that, and I'm not saying that so that I can get any kind of congratulations. I feel it's a gift that I'm able to give today. And a meeting where we talk about these two traditions, I believe that in our main meetings, maybe some of our speakers might be asked to try to share just how important this stuff is as part of their. That's me. You know, that's where I am. I do know that our helpline at one point employed a service to answer our calls and direct addicts to meetings. And what we found was that, you know, someone sitting behind the desk who had no clue was picking up the phone, hello, Narcotics Anonymous, and talking to suffering addicts, giving them advice. So we had to stop that. And because we're there to be a volunteer organization of addicts, helping addicts get to meetings. We're not there to have our special workers give advice. And you know, you'll go to a meeting, I don't know if I've done it myself, I've gone in, I've shared about a problem, the next five people told me what to do. I don't think that's right in their meetings. If I wanted advice, you know, I would ask my sponsor. not too long ago, I was not feeling real spiritual. And someone shared an answer to something that I said, or their retort to something that I shared. And I wanted to say, look, if I wanted advice from a butthead, I'd go and look in the mirror and ask myself. My higher power. I wasn't going to use that word, but I used that for purposes of this tape. My sponsor said, well, it was real spiritual of you not to do it. And I said, well, my higher power wouldn't let my mouth open because it wanted to jump out. That we're non-professional. I've shared in meetings, I've shared problems, and then I've heard people share after me that shared about a problem they had that was similar and what they did for them. That's what I need to hear. I don't want your advice. I just want you to share how you dealt with that kind of thing. That's what I'm here for. This is where I get my help. I went to a shrink and he wanted to offer me medicine. I said, Doc, if you've got medicine back there, it's not the kind that I want. It's not the kind that I know will take care of my problem. So trust me, I don't need your pills. And I went out and used. So I found that medicine was not my thing. Psychiatry was not my thing. Narcotics Anonymous is my thing. And I'm just grateful to be alive.
Anyone else want to say anything? All righty.